Welcome to GovInnovator. I'm Andy Feldman. The topic today is strategies for making change at the state level, drawing lessons from an innovative nonprofit that's built a remarkable track record of good government wins for the state of New Mexico. Our guest is Fred Nathan, the executive director of the nonprofit Think New Mexico. Here's a clip.
I don't think we'll ever work on more than one issue at a time because we found this to be a very effective model, and we do everything that's necessary from soup to nuts to pass a law.
If you're not from New Mexico, you may have never heard of the nonpartisan nonprofit called Think New Mexico. Its record of accomplishment, however, is worth paying attention to no matter where you live, since it provides lessons in making state-level change. With only a 4-person full-time staff, plus interns, the organization has launched a number of significant good government initiatives in New Mexico that have been successful. How does a small organization build a track record of important good government wins? To get some insights, we're joined by Fred Nathan. He founded Think New Mexico in 1999 and has served as its executive director ever since. Fred, welcome.
Many thanks for having me, Andy.
You and I connected several years ago as I was researching results-focused state think tanks. Tell us how you describe the mission of Think New Mexico.
Sure. So the first thing to understand about New Mexico is, unfortunately, we're 49th or 50th in too many of these national rankings. So the real inspiration for Think New Mexico was to try to find a way to move us up and to propel us forward in some of these rankings. And so we're different than many state-based think tanks, which tend to be either way, way over on the left with their policy solutions or way, way over on the right. And we just believe in a state that's 49th or 50th in too many of these national rankings that the focus really should be on solutions rather than political ideology. And consistent with that, we have a board of directors made up of Republicans, Democrats, and independents that's really broadly representative of the entire state.
One of the most obvious unique features of Think New Mexico is that it focuses on only one new issue per year. Tell us how you decided on that strategy.
Well, originally by necessity, we were very, very small, and that's really all that we could handle. But since we're really trying to make a difference in the quality of life, which means trying to pass one landmark law every year, I think we came to appreciate the model and have stuck with it and have just sort of ramped up. Now we have 4 staffers, and I don't think we'll ever work on more than one issue at a time because we found this to be a very effective model, and we do everything that's necessary from soup to nuts to pass a law.
You once told me, Fred, that you read about a governor once who said that if you can accomplish one important thing per year as governor, you'll be successful. And in a way, you formed a state think tank around that same mission.
That's right. That was Reuben Askew, who was a 2-term governor of Florida. I think it was a study of people who had made a difference at the state level, and he was featured as basically the most successful governor of the 20th century. And that was his philosophy, that even though he was a governor, he felt really that the best thing he could do, the best way he could spend his time and the resources of the governor's office, was to try to focus on one major change in state policy. And he was able to do that for 8 years. So we thought, you know, maybe we could apply that to a not-for-profit model. And that's really what we've been doing ever since.
Walk us through the process, Fred, that Think New Mexico takes each year, starting with deciding on a new issue to try to tackle.
Sure. We usually start with about 100 different ideas, and we apply what seems in the abstract like a simple 2-part test, which is the topic big enough to make a difference in the quality of life of most New Mexicans, but yet small enough to be politically achievable? So if you start with about 100 ideas, you're doing well if you, at the end of the funnel, if you have 3 potential policy topics, and that's what we take to the board. And because the board is really such a good cross-section of the state, it's wonderful to hear them debate the merits of these issues and the pros and cons. And at the end of that board meeting, always by consensus, which isn't really by design but pleases me, the board settles on a single topic, which the staff then takes and researches for about 3 months. And our goal is to understand that issue better than anybody else on the planet course of doing that, we produce a report, a policy report, that we send to about 15,000 New Mexicans, and these are proverbial opinion leaders, you know, elected officials and appointed officials, people in the media, business leaders, labor leaders, pretty much everybody we can think of that's around the policy arena. And after that, we really just try to build a coalition of supporters and try to identify organizations or leaders who might make for good allies. Also, we try to meet with every single legislator and identify the two best sponsors in both chambers. We're obviously looking for a Democrat and Republican. And we meet with the governor and the governor's staff. And then we work it as hard as we possibly can during the legislative sessions.
And you've got a big mailing list that can help mobilize people.
It is a terrific asset. We've got about 15,000 in our snail mail mailing list and about 100,000 who we email to. And it's you know, something that we've refined over time, and it's been a very effective tool for us, both from a fundraising standpoint, but we use it mostly to mobilize and get people to email their legislators. And we've got a system where they don't even need to know who their legislators are. We have a pre-scripted letter that they can send out and can edit themselves, which we encourage them to do. And they don't need to know who their legislators are because our computer, based on their address, which we have them type in, can take it from there. So it saves them a stamp, and it reaches legislators. And it's sort of amusing to us sometimes when we're lobbying a legislator and they say, you know, you don't need to lobby me. I'm just getting swamped with emails on this issue. And we know that they're pretty much generated from our listserv.
Is there a way, Fred, to summarize the track record of the organization?
Well, we've been around for 16 years. And the last time I checked, we had a dozen landmark laws to our credit, things that we had taken from inception as an idea and gotten sometimes dragged across the finish line. So we've been successful about three quarters of the time. And I'm not being modest, Andy, when I say this. Many times, to the degree we've been successful, it's just that we've identified an unusually good sponsor in the legislature. These issues seem to always bring out some wonderful people. Last year we worked on getting a healthcare transparency website created. And there's this wonderful doctor in Albuquerque who basically gave up his practice for a month to come up and help us. And he's a former head of the Albuquerque Medical Society. So we get lots and lots of help. And I think that's part of the reason we've been successful.
And will you tell us about one or two of the successes that you're most proud of?
I guess the thing that we're most well known for is repealing the tax on groceries, which has been around in New Mexico, had been around since 1933, and New Mexico was actually the second state we discovered in our research to tax food. And of course, taxing food is a very regressive thing, meaning that it falls harshly on those who can least afford it. And that fight ended up being a three-year fight, but what that fight demonstrated is it really showed our perseverance that when we find a topic that we really believe will improve the quality of life, especially for those who don't have as large a voice in the political process, we stay with it, and we stay with it until we get it done. Another one was changing the law and making full-day kindergarten accessible to every child in New Mexico, and there you had a half-day kindergarten, which was really a misnomer, it's 2.5 hours, and in the rural parts of New Mexico, kids were spending more time on the school bus going to and from school than they actually were in the classroom. People now, I think, agree full-day kindergarten makes sense, but it was really a budgetary issue, and we were able to document that the cost of going from half-day to full-day kindergarten was equal to about 1% of our state budget, which back then was $3.2 billion. So we put out a second report on how to pay for it and documented about 22 different programs that were either wasteful or inefficient or duplicative, and really rallied both sides of the aisle, and it was very dramatic. The governor, who had sort of a libertarian philosophy, changed his mind on the last day of the 20-day veto period and signed the bill into law.
We've never talked about this issue, Fred, but I'm just guessing that it probably took a few years before people really believed that this was a nonpartisan organization. Am I right?
You are exactly right, Andy. And I think it's just the partisan nature of politics here in New Mexico and everywhere else is that people were trying to put us in a cubbyhole, and we were able to show them in the most visible way is by the party affiliations of our board members, many of whom are prominent citizens. And I think people were sort of struck that, wow, they truly are bipartisan. And then, you know, over a period of years, they saw that we bounced around with our solutions. Some, you know, leaned a little left, some leaned a little bit right, but it was just impossible to pigeonhole us into one or another category.
Finally, Fred, there are a number of well-respected state think tanks across the U.S., as you know, but I don't know any of them that are using the same approach as Think New Mexico. If there are podcast listeners who are interested in potentially launching a similar approach in their own state, what's your advice?
Naturally, we believe in this model of social change, and we think we have a pretty good track record that shows that it's an effective model. And so one of our goals in our strategic plan is to replicate this model in other states, and I'm embarrassed to tell you that we haven't been very successful there yet, but we're not very well known. You know, so my personal goal, and also one of our strategic goals at Think New Mexico, is over time we'd like to replicate this model in any other state that might be interested. If anybody's listening to this podcast and thinks it's something that they might want to replicate in their state, I'd be more than happy to sit down and spend some time with anybody that wanted to do that.
We'll end this portion of the interview here, but I'm going to ask Fred to tell us about Think New Mexico's current issue on which they're focusing, and I'll post his answer to the website. But for now, Fred Nathan from Think New Mexico, congratulations to everyone involved in your organization for what you've accomplished, and thanks for sharing your insights with us today.
Well, many thanks, Andy, for having me on your podcast, and I hope that anybody that's interested in learning more will go to our website at www.thinknewmexico, written out as one word, .org.